Magic lamp? Wonder what happens when I rub it.
You have awakened me. I shall grant you 3 wishes.
My first wish is for economic development. My second wish is to save hours of travel time. And my third wish is to create safer roads.
You could have just wished for bus rapid transit and gotten all these things with one wish.
Make all your transit wishes come true. Learn more about bus rapid transit at indigo.net/bus-rapid-transit.
Good morning. It is Monday, February 12th. It is 6 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So you had a weekend. The Super Bowl was played. But then when we get back to Monday and politics, it's the same old story as the Democrats are rolling out everybody in Biden's defense. And a new poll has come out from ABC, and it says a whopping 86% of voters say that Joe Biden is too old for another term. This after that DOJ report.
So it was interesting. So they played that clip last night. I guess this was before the Super Bowl went on. Mm-hmm. And Biden's in some, it looked like a theater type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he declined to do the interview.
Right.
Which we had talked about how bizarre that was. And clearly an indictment that he cannot do anything now on his own.
There were 16 edits in that, and we've got that coming up later in the show.
Yeah, and so I'm listening to this, and it was like he looks a gajillion years old. But then when you hear the audio only, like remember what there's this famous retelling of the 1960 presidential election and the debate between Nixon and
Kennedy,
mm-hmm. and people who watched the debate on TV, yep. said Kennedy won, and the people who listened on the radio said that Nixon won.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how, to this day, audio, only audio, can still change your perception even of something you have seen. Because you see him, and he looks a gajillion years old. But then when you take away the visual of him and just listen to the audio, because Tony was playing it as I was driving into work, he sounds even worse when you just have to listen to him and not even look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this bizarre rant about the size of ice cream and shrinkflation, and he's blaming corporations, and he's blaming everyone but himself.
All right.
And he just sounds like this angry old, I mean, there's nothing they're going to do to fix this, Casey, because you cannot fix what he is, mm-hmm. which is he's an old angry guy who's lost his marbles.
His Super Bowl message, you're right. He was talking about shrinkflation, and yeah, it's real. We don't like it. The video didn't make it go away, that's for sure. So here it is. Let's take a listen to it.
The Super Bowl Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. The bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
And the visual of this, there were about 99 edits in that little clip you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it was like one sentence at a time. Probably,
one sentence,
you know, 30,
3 or 4 words.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like 30 takes to get it. And you mm-hmm. know, based on those camera edits, that they probably felt very fortunate they could even get that. But then when you just hear the audio of it, as I was driving in it, I was just struck by that. Of it's like total disconnect to your role in this. And not just his role. Obviously, we've talked about all the money that was printed under Trump and what the Republicans did there. Government caused shrinkflation.
Mm-hmm.
Government did this. Government shut society down. Government printed all this money to try to get people to believe that you could shut society down without any sort of ramifications. And for him to blame corporations,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're right, buddy. We got 2 pizzas last night for the game. a large pizza is not what a large pizza used to be. But the companies didn't do this willingly. They did it because supply chains are screwed up. Everything is more expensive if you can get it. And for the total disconnect, that should piss everybody off that he went on, he wouldn't do an interview, and then he goes on some pre-recorded thing. Take away the fact that he sounds like he's a gajillion years old. The message itself is ridiculous.
Well, the video had 16 edits in it because, yes, I did count. And you're right. He sounds completely tone deaf in this. And it's like a deflection of his own responsibility in it because he says, I'm calling on the government to stop this. Hey, buddy, I'm calling on you to quit spending. And by the way, the economy is not better. Prices are high. They're staying that way. And oops, Joe, your Treasury Secretary, just said the other day the prices are going to stay high.
These high prices caused by Bidenomics are here to stay, aren't they?
Well, the high prices were not caused by Bidenomics. Mm-hmm. We suffered a pandemic that resulted in severe dislocations.
Yes, ma'am, but if I could ask you, they're here to stay, aren't they?
I don't expect the level of prices to go down.
I don't expect the level of prices to go down. Do you notice she did everything she could not to say, yes, prices are here to stay? I don't expect the level to go down.
Isn't it interesting how the so that was John Kennedy asking that question, right?
It was.
So isn't it interesting that John Kennedy, who voted for a bunch of the, when it was his party in charge, voted for a bunch of this. Keep in mind, all of this was needless. There's not one thing the federal government did. There's not one thing that Eric Holcomb did. There's not one thing that Dr. Box gynecologist did that they can point to and say, that person's alive because of me. Now, we can point to people who aren't alive through, you know, drug overdoses, depression, you know, suicide, domestic violence. There's a lot of people we can point to who aren't with us anymore because of the actions of the government during COVID. There's not one thing you can point to and say, that person is alive because of me. Because we know, and we knew from the beginning, that everybody could have gone to, able-bodied people could have gone to work. There was, I went to work every day. You went to work in like 9 different states during the pandemic every single day. And there was no reason that younger, able-bodied people without comorbidities, we knew very early on who needed to be protected, who this thing was going to hit the hardest. You could have still had the country functioning probably on an 80 to 85% level, which would have been a disruption, yes, but would have been this colossal thing that we're still feeling the effects of 4 years later? No. But for a guy like John Kennedy to get snippy with her, yeah, she's awful.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
But so are you, buddy. So are you, because the Republicans printed $5 trillion in 2020. So yes, I still see people in the YouTube chat. So you think today's inflation is the former president's fault as well? Yes, it all counts. Mm-hmm. The $34 trillion in debt we are has been racked up by both Democrats and Republicans. Yes, Donald Trump signed off on printing $5 trillion in 2020. That is contributing because he also, with the shutdowns, contributed to the supply chain issues. So yes, it's everyone's fault.
So according to this ABC News poll, it says that independents are even more concerned about Joe Biden's age. 91% say that he's too old.
Well, so isn't hers report, by the way, isn't it fascinating that now everyone is dumping on her, who was appointed by Merrick Garland, who is Joe, you know, head of Joe Biden's Justice Department, mm-hmm. and now they've all turned on her. Mm-hmm. Thanks for keeping him out of prison, you know, and then they just give him basically a giant middle finger. But isn't it interesting that Joe Biden sort of boxed himself into only one of two things could be true? Either you did something deliberately nefarious, which he did because he hadn't lost his marbles when he was vice president and he knew exactly what he was doing. when he took those documents, but either you were so absent-minded and forgetful that you can't be held accountable for your actions. Okay, that's the path her went down. But the default of that is, well, now everyone believes you're too old and feeble-minded to be president. So the thing Joe Biden spent, his life basically doing two things, being totally corrupt and wanting to be president. Totally corrupt and wanting to be president. And now these things have merged where in order to save yourself from your corruption, you have now basically chopped off your ability to be president going forward. It's sort of this weird Shakespearean like tragedy type of thing where these things now have merged into this just totally, I mean, he deserves it, but crazy, isn't it?
Well, I think it's interesting that now they're trotting out everybody to his defense. So the Sunday morning talk shows, I'm sure you were probably doing Super Bowl preparation, but you had Mayorkas out there and he was saying that Biden is so mentally strong that the most difficult part about having a meeting with him is not the actual meeting, but it's preparing for it because he says that he's sharp and he's intensely probing and detail oriented and focused. And if you're going to have a meeting with Joe Biden, you better be prepared. But this is one of my favorites. This is his campaign co-chair who says that Joe Biden is so mentally fit that you better have your big boy pants on.
And I'm telling you, this guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game. And as Secretary Mayorkas said a minute ago, when you go in to brief the president, you better have your big boy pants on. And this kind of sense that he's not ready for this job is just a bucket of BS that's so deep, your boots will get stuck in.
Understood, but Americans don't agree with what you're saying. In fact, our NBC News poll found that 76% of voters are concerned about whether the president has the necessary mental and physical health to be president for a second term.
He says anything less is a bucket of BS so deep your boots will get stuck in it. My question, why are you stepping in a bucket of BS?
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. hey, real quick, if you're looking for us, say, on YouTube, we're under Hammer and Nigel today.
Oh, great.
So we are streaming. I'm seeing us. If you're having trouble finding us, you can find us on Hammer. We are listed as Hammer and Nigel today.
Fantastic.
So you get to be Nigel.
That means I get to leave. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning, 22 minutes after 9. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Jamie Rittenour is going to join us. She is running for governor in the great state of Indiana. And the amazing thing about her story is the amount of signatures that she was able to achieve to get on the ballot and the little amount of money that she had to do it. And something else that's going on right now in regards to getting signatures is the Supreme Court hearing of the John Rust case.
Yeah, so obviously there are two components to Indiana's election laws that are completely ridiculous and totally designed so that the party, in this case, we'll say the Republicans, because they control everything in Indiana government, can dictate who can run so they can keep undesirables off the ballot. And undesirables are, if you're hearing our voice right now, likely you, because if they can't control you, they don't want you being a part of their little group, because that's what this is. This is a giant game of basically Dungeons and Dragons. And the Rust case obviously deals with one component of Indiana's election law, which is the thing that you had to have run in two primaries, or not run, you have had to have voted in two consecutive primaries for whatever party you're trying to run for. And Rust had not done that. He's trying to run for U.S. Senate on the Republican side. He challenged the law. He won at the lower court, and now it's in front of the state Supreme Court today. And it sounds like Nikki Kelly's been doing the live tweeting on this. It sounds like thus far the justices are not having a lot of time nor patience for the state's argument of why there's a public interest in keeping about 80% of the state from running for public office.
Well, when he was here, he was pretty confident that they were going to rule in his favor.
Well, he should. He had a couple things. And look, I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. But we have talked to lawyers about this, and Abdul being one of them. And there are a couple areas where the law is poorly written. I mean, the trial court judge, Dietrich, who is a Republican, by the way, so it's going to be really hard for them to dump on him when he's a Republican ruling against essentially the Republican Party. it was a 30-some page ruling. It's very well written. One of the major things is he said, wait a second. Your state constitution says somebody 18 years old can run for public office. Well, how is an 18-year-old supposed to run for public office if they have to have voted in two consecutive primaries? Two things are at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. These two things can't be. And it speaks to how poorly these laws are often written by these Republicans when the goal is not the public interest, but rather boxing out specific people. And so if you read Nikki Kelly's, and obviously, look, who knows how these judges are ultimately going to rule, but you can often really get some insight based on the line of questioning. And it sounds like the judges are being rather pointed and aggressive with the state's attorney about this law and why. I mean, there is no reason for it other than it's the Republicans trying to keep undesirables from running. Hopefully this thing will go down. And then that brings us to the second part of Indiana's, if this thing goes down today, the second part of this is the signature thing, which is totally, totally, totally ridiculous. There's absolutely no public interest in someone having to get 4,500 signatures to run for a public office they're otherwise qualified for. And you have to get it on these offices, but not on these offices. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, now Rust ain't going to do it because if he's on the ballot, that's all he cares about. But hopefully the next person will challenge the signature law and we can get that thing thrown out too.
Do you think that they'll actually vote today or will it go until tomorrow or down the road?
This is the interesting thing that people in the political class have been chatting about, which is Rust is on the ballot right now.
Right. What if they don't vote in his favor? Are they going to unballot him?
Well, so you would look, the fact that they stayed the ruling. So the attorney general, state of Indiana, whatever, had appealed this to the Supreme Court. They refused to stay the ruling. Let me repeat myself. They refused to stay the ruling, which meant they said Dietrich's ruling, the lower court judge, that Russ could be on the ballot, the law is unconstitutional, is the law. Mm-hmm. So right now, if the judges just, they could take till June and Rust could run for public office. Now, they're not going to do that. There are some people, Abdul thinks they're going to take a while. Rust thought they were going to rule today.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with Rust. If there is unanimous consent, which there appears thus far on the line of questioning to certainly be leaning in that direction, mm-hmm. just
why
do it.
Why take your time?
Because other people are going to be impacted potentially by this as well. So, you know, who knows? But if the line of questioning is any indication, they'll probably rule pretty quick. And the best part about this is Todd Rokita will have lost in court again.
It's Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is 9:34. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So you want some property tax relief, huh? Well, it's a little harder than the lawmakers want to do. Because apparently they have done some surveys recently, and 18 out of the 19 surveys say that you want property tax relief. However, that's kind of complicated for them to do for you because it's got so many different layers. They would prefer to do other things. They would prefer to give you different tax relief.
No, they wouldn't. No,
well,
they
say they want to. No, gas, income, sales tax, property tax. It's just hard, Rob. It's hard to tackle.
Yeah, well, Bundy said he was a hardworking attorney. So, you know, people say lots of things. It doesn't make it true. So what Casey's talking about here is Nikki Kelly, and we'll actually have Nikki on tomorrow and talk to her in depth about this, has a new piece out at Indiana Capital Chronicle detailing the, I call them taxpayer-funded infomercials, but they're basically, these lawmakers will send you, I'm sure you've gotten them in the mail, Representative Fred so-and-so cares about what you think.
Right.
You know, and then you, oftentimes I believe you have to spend your own money to send it back to them, but they'll send you a mailer. You can check the boxes on how important is this thing to you and what matters most to you. And it's basically designed, Fred pretends to care about you, and then you see Fred's face and go, oh, Fred cares about what I think. Mm-hmm. And then these things usually just get wadded up in a bin and thrown
Thanks
in the trash.
Thanks for your input.
And Nikki Kelly has, as the Indiana Capital Chronicle often does, done some legwork on this, and she said that in 18 of the 19 surveys that she has seen, that these are from Senate Republicans. So that's about half of the Senate Republicans. I think there's, I don't know, it varies, 40 or 41 of the 50 are Republicans. In 18 of the 19 surveys that she has seen, so a clear overwhelming majority, property tax reform leads the way in terms of what Hoosiers are demanding their lawmakers do. And Nikki Kelly makes a great point in this article, and it has been backed up by the inaction of the Republicans the past 2 years on this issue, despite knowing clearly they didn't need these surveys to back this up. Their phone lines have been flooded. Their email inboxes have been flooded. This is the last thing the Republicans want to take on, because in order to tackle property taxes, you will have to tell local governments to get their fiscal house in order. And that is absolutely the last thing the Indiana Republicans want to do right now, Casey.
Well, do they want to do the reimbursements again? Didn't they used to do that like back in 2007? And they changed everything. And it looks like they're saying, yeah, we don't want to go back to that again.
Well, but here's what they don't want to do. Because, okay,
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Pre-2008, the property tax system was a convoluted mess. It was a just dumpster fire, and it was impossible to figure out, and it was, and in this, I mean, it's like all other laws. There became a law on top of a law on top of a law. We'll try to clean this thing up over here. Okay, then it causes disruption over here. So in 2008, by force, now everybody needs to remember, if you're a younger person, our older listeners will remember this, the Republicans and Mitch Daniels did not do property tax reform by choice. They did it by force. People were literally on the lawn of the state house, like thousands of people were showing up because the property taxes were so out of control. And so they came up with this, what seemed like at the time, pretty decent idea, which said, look, local governments, people's homes are not your endless personal piggy bank. So we are going to cap the amount that people can be taxed on their homes. 1% on your primary residence, 2% on rentals and farmland, and then 3% on business. Now, that was ridiculous because businesses shouldn't have been punished for owning a business and renters shouldn't have been punished, but it was what it was. And that worked for about 2 or 3 years. And Casey, keep in mind, when they did that, they raised the sales tax to pay teachers. Everybody forgets that the schools got this big freebie giveaway when the tax caps came in place because the local governments no longer had to pay the teachers anymore. The state took on the burden of paying the teachers. Well, what we have had ever since then through these just, I can't say that word, these bullcrap referendums, people have, the school systems have bastardized the intent of the tax cap. And now through the assessment skyrocketing, they have bastardized the tax cap. And what you have is these local governments who have way more money than they did pre-tax cap. Like, I lost revenue due to tax. You ain't lost nothing. Yeah, and so it is time for the Republicans, and they don't want to do this because they don't want to take on the towns. They don't want to take on the cities. They don't want to take on the schools again. They don't have the cojones to do this anymore like they used to. They need to stand up and say, once again, people's homes, local governments, school systems, towns, fire territories, libraries, townships, people's homes are not your personal piggy bank. You have to get your fiscal house in order again, and we are going to do something about it. But they don't want to do that because they are afraid of these angry red-shirted teachers.
But they don't want to do it also because they don't like sending out those checks to everybody. But apparently there's going to be some informational hearing that's going to be part of the 2025 legislative session.
They've been having this tax committee has been meeting. Luke Kenley, who is like the godfather of the Indiana tax code, former state senator, was very powerful senator when he was in office, has testified in front of that committee, and he said you need to cut the property taxes because it is, you're dealing with people's, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said here, but you're dealing with now with people's inability to pay at this point.
Yeah.
And they're not monetizing they're not monetizing their homes. You are, people are getting crushed on something they're not monetizing. There's no other tax that exists where there is no monetization and people are being taxed for it. And these surveys are showing it. Our audience has told us. They've flooded these people with phone calls and emails. And once again, this Nikki Kelly piece is a reaffirmation that people are demanding that these Republicans get off their asses and actually protect people's ability to stay in their homes.
Number one priority. And they'll get to it in 2025, hopefully. Maybe.
I doubt it.
All right. It is 941. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Kendall and Casey show Monday after Super Bowl. Many people taking the day off today.
Not us.
It's not a bad idea, especially with it being an overtime last night. But
did you hear Kat say he went to bed? It went to overtime and he went to bed.
He didn't watch the final of the game. He didn't watch Mahomes with that comeback.
He said this on the air. He goes, yeah, I went to overtime and I went to bed.
Oh,
well,
no.
Nothing says being a man's man like going to bed.
You know what? I kind of lost a little bit of interest there towards the end of the game. But then when I heard all the hooping and hollering that was going on in the family room, I perked back up and I had to go rejoin because I was kind of like debating on going to bed too. But then when I found out, oh, it's going to be overtime, okay, I'm going to stay up and watch the rest of it.
And this is the thing I love about Katz and actually really respect about Katz, because while I'm chuckling to myself, I guarantee you he did that.
He actually went to bed, yeah, and he did not have any FOMO.
Yeah, I can see him there with the bourbon or whatever it is that he drinks and a cigar in the other hand and going, this is beneath me. I'm out of here.
I have to get up in the morning.
He tells it on the air just like it's no big deal.
He is the consummate professional,
oh,
right?
Goodness,
he knew that he had to deliver a morning show and he needed his beauty rest.
What do you think? Okay, so when Katz is in our building, which is like three times a year, mm-hmm, he is always dressed to the nines.
Yes,
like
he looks good.
You will never see him in like a track suit or whatever. But what do you think he wears when he does his show from home?
From home when he's doing a show? I thought you were going to ask me when he's watching a football game at night. I was going to say he's probably sitting around with some joggers on and some t-shirt and, I don't know, a nice pair of slippers that he can take outside as well.
We should ask him because I think the exact opposite. He strikes me as a sort of dude who he rolls out of bed, uh-huh, and whether he's walking 10 feet to his studio or he's going to give a speech somewhere, he's always like, I could see him wearing.
You think he's wearing like a button down and jeans?
No, yeah, like a suit or something, because mm-hmm, I don't know if I've ever seen him, even when he used to come into work here.
Relax.
Yeah. Anyway, we got totally sidetracked on that. But
you're making me think of what he's wearing. Like, what does he wear when he's sick? What does he wear when, like, I don't even want to think about that anymore. One thing I did notice now was that the second official commercial of the Super Bowl was targeted directly at me, and they nailed that one.
Oh.
It was for some pharmaceutical ad for women with hot flashes, uh-huh, and I thought, nailed it. But of
Casey will just start, for those of you not familiar with what we're talking about, Casey will just start at random times just fanning herself in the studio
and asking everyone, are you guys hot?
It's freezing in our studio, and yet there you are always fanning yourself, acting as though it's, you know, it's 100 degrees in there.
It's like, I don't even remember what the drug was called. It was like Vioza or something like that, and they were like, hot flashes, not flashes. And I thought, wow, they're talking to me.
Yeah.
But like normal, the first official Super Bowl commercial has been a trailer for a movie.
Oh.
And I thought it was really interesting this time that they didn't show the whole trailer. It was Deadpool. And they said, rather than give you the trailer, you have to go to YouTube and watch it online. So redirecting the traffic to go over to the internet. But Disney has announced that they're done writing new movie scripts, Rob. They've released dates for sequels that they have coming up for their animated movies. And I thought, well, this is interesting because there's nothing new coming out of Hollywood anymore. You've got Inside Out, which is coming out in June, Moana in November, Zootopia in 2025. Toy Story 5 will be out in 2026.
Five. Yes. Toy Story?
That Toy kid's, Story
that
5.
That kid's 50 years old
that
now.
Kid, he's like going to retire and he's still got these toys. Maybe they're collectibles now. He's selling them on the internet. Frozen
that's
3.
The script. Right. Watch that be the script.
Right. Frozen 3 is coming out in 2026. But another thing that Disney is doing is they're partnering with Fox and Warner Brothers and Discovery, and they're creating a new sports streaming service.
Okay, so this is a huge deal because you have seen through the various streaming apps, things like Peacock and Amazon Prime are kind of the first two that come to mind, have really started to try to get a corner on the sports market. And we have seen ESPN obviously has struggled as people have cut the cord and have left cable, and you have seen, you know, just kind of traditional television struggle. And so what you are seeing is this sort of you know, ultimate alliance of sports mega powers coming together to try to fend off sort of these, for lack of a better word, insurgent, you know, ways that these other companies have been getting people to view sports on their platforms. And I'll tell you what, it certainly sounds like this is the sort of thing I've been looking for a long time, because there's no need for me to have cable. I don't watch enough channels.
Yeah.
I don't watch any current television shows. The only thing I would watch on cable is sports. And I've said for years I would pay for something to be able to watch just the sport.
Yep.
And now it appears they may actually give me that option.
They finally listen to you. So they don't have a name for this or pricing. They haven't released any of that. It's scheduled to launch this fall, and it's going to be like a new app. So it's another thing. If you have a smart TV, you're going to have to download this new app on your TV. But also missing is NBC, Comcast, NBC's, and Paramount, CBS. They air these major sporting events, including NFL games and college sports and the Olympics. But what is this Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers, Discovery? What are they going to air? Is it going to be more of the same? And it's just, you have to pick which app you want depending on which team you support.
Well, here's what it kind of sounds like is, obviously, for someone like me, there's a ton of college basketball games on ESPN that, thankfully, my neighbor has a good cable package.
And your
go watch his cable. You've got a lot of NBA games that, and especially with, you know, some kind of controversy right now about certain providers of Major League Baseball and NBA basketball and what the future is going to be with them. You know, like it would give me an opportunity basically to watch these things from my house. Now, I have an antenna, so I can get anything that's on CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, all the NFL games, any college sports that's on those, Major League Baseball that's on those. I'm not worried about that. But it's like on a, you know, random Tuesday in November or December where, you know, football is not on.
Right.
What am I going to bet on? I got to go over to my dad's house and watch the thing I'm betting on.
And that's the thing. What sort of programming are they going to have? Is it going to be like the WNBA or NASCAR, PGA?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be the sports that are on these various networks and channels, which is a lot of sports. And they're just going to run them on this streaming app. And it sounds like there's the ESPN Plus app right now, but you can't, it's like specialty stuff. So like, here's a great example. At the golf tournament this past weekend, there was all sorts of kind of craziness because of the weather. A bunch of it.
And the drunk fans.
But a bunch of it before it came on TV was on the ESPN Plus app. And then once the golf channel took over, then the ESPN Plus app had to stop. It sounds like things that you can actually get on ESPN now, you'll be able to get on this new app, which I don't think you can get on the ESPN Plus app right now. You got to log in with your cable information in order to view it, et cetera. So we'll see, but this is very interesting. And I think this, depending on price, obviously price points.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What sort of price would you pay for something like this? Like, what is your limit?
I don't know.
Oh. To be determined. All right, that's fantastic. All right, we do have the news coming up, but before we get to that, Rob, you wanted to mention one more thing.
Yeah, I need to correct a mistake I made during our February 2nd broadcast. During that broadcast, I was discussing the Secretary of State's endorsement of Jim Banks's run for U.S. Senate. And I then mentioned Jim Banks and an incident of drunk driving, going through a barricade, leaving the scene of an accident, and misleading the police. That was a mistake. I meant to say Jim Lucas, the state representative, not Jim Banks. I did not even realize I had made that mistake until advised by representatives of Jim Banks on February the 7th. Jim Banks did not do the things I referenced. That incident involved Jim Lucas. That was a slip of the tongue and an honest mistake. And I and this station retract that erroneous statement. I meant in good faith to attribute the incident to Jim Lucas, not Jim Banks. I want to apologize to Mr. Banks, his family, and his supporters. And I offer Jim Banks an opportunity to come on this program if he wants to correct the record personally.
All right. We've got Jamie Rittenour, who has received all of the signatures to run for governor in the state of Indiana. And this is a fascinating conversation. She's going to join us next on 93 WIBC.